Welcome to End Time Talk Radio, where the truth is usually stranger than fiction. The purpose of these shows are not to scare you, but to prepare you, because what you don't know could hurt you. The word says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." Thank you for joining us. My name is Julie, and here is the host of the show, Barry Meyer.
Today on End Time Talk Radio, we have Stan Dale, Jim Williamson, and L.A. Marzulli, a roundtable. Due to some unforeseen circumstances with having all three on, it seemed like it impeded the audio, so this is our only roundtable we'll be doing. I had to do some editing and different things like that, so I do apologize for the sound quality. Anyway, so as best as it is what it is, and we'll be right back with End Time Talk Radio with the Roundtable.
I got held up in the briars, and that's when I looked up and saw it. And it made no noise. The trees didn't move, or the leaves blew away. Ricky Sorrow, Stephen to the Lights. I went into sort of a shocked tailspin as I realized that the abductions were real. I said to myself, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God," repeatedly for about 6 months. Dr. David Jacobs. They always communicated to me telepathically. An idea would come into my mind to go out and take pictures, or they would have me start drawing symbols, which was some type of language I had no knowledge of. They called it light language. The alien interviews is a hard-hitting exposé conducted with 17 people who have had direct contact with the so-called extraterrestrial presence. The alien interviews is now available in paperback for only $10. Get informed, as UFOs are real, burgeoning, and not going away. Go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net. And pick up your copy of The Alien Interviews, www.lamarzulli.net.
Today on End Time Talk Radio, we have three guests. This is our roundtable. The first one is Stan Dale. You can reach him at standale.com. The second one is Jim Williamson, echoesofenoch.com, and also L.A. Marzulli, lamarzulli.net, and also lamarzulli.wordpress.com. That's where you can reach these men. Gentlemen, thank you for and welcome to End Time Talk Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Well, L.A., I know you're going to get ready for a show here eventually, but let's start off and talk about this new UFO that was over China. What's going on?
Well, it seems like there are more flaps happening that are coming to light via the news medium. This was in a Shanghai Daily. There's a couple of pictures of the thing. Classic disc, lights emanating from it. Closed the airport down again. And, it's just... Of course, it's hard to fit an act. The last one actually called the Chinese embassy here in Los Angeles, and after calling every day for about, 5 or 6 days, I just finally gave up. I got nowhere. The guy was just stalling me. He said he was passing the information on, but it's just, you run up against a brick wall. What we're seeing, and China's just one area, but we're seeing this everywhere. I mean, there's a saying that I use in pretty much all my presentations: UFOs are real, burgeoning, not going away. And there was a report today, and I actually watched a news clip, in Australia, and captured, this guy was on a cruise ship, slightly off subject, but it's the same thing, and it will go back to the Chinese thing, but the guy's on a cruise ship, he just happens to be looking out of the water with his camera, and lo and behold, there's like these two objects over the water, and they're anomalous objects, and they're not emitting light or dark shapes, very, very strange. He captures about 40 seconds of these things before they... disappear. So this is like Australian news media, like CBS, ABC, local news, and the anchors, the talking heads. I mean, all these people, I swear, they're briefed because they all do the same thing. They treat it tongue in cheek. They sort of laugh at it, like, "Well, we don't really believe in this crazy thing, but we're going to show you this anyway, ladies and gentlemen." It is such nonsense, so disingenuous. Because if we had one or two of these every decade, no one would be talking about it. We get between 300 and 500 sometimes UFOs sighted globally per month. And it's time to take off the gloves and call it for what it is. I mean, these anchors that are sitting there behind their desk and, oh, you know, they're chortling and laughing and, oh, you know, only crazy people think of this thing. Or, you know, after a few drinks, I mean, that's when I'll start seeing them. I mean, they see things like this. And so anyone who actually has an encounter immediately, because they've been conditioned from watching the news and all this, they don't want to report it. They don't want to do anything. But bottom line is, and I know the other guests, you know, Jim and Stan and stuff, but these things are, the phenomena is real. It is happening globally. It's increasing instead of decreasing. And you know what? The sightings are bold. I had a guest on my show a while back. He's MUFON director in Alaska. Brent Schneider, I believe his name is. And this gentleman said that, you know, the phenomena has changed here in Alaska. We went on from, you know, 20-foot, 50-foot, 100-foot diameter craft. Now it's like half a mile to a mile wide. This is what's happening in Alaska. So it's... I mean, that to me is alarming.
Well, you can imagine all... I was just going to quickly say, you can imagine all the ones that you hear on the news occasionally, you know, because they're bigger in life or because they can do a good ploy and make a spoof on it. But, you know, I'm sure both of you guys have experienced the same thing I have, that I get countless people, and more now than ever before. I'm getting people that, oh, yeah, I saw one just last week, or I saw one, you know, the other day, and Jim, did you hear about... You know, and I get this all the time. And these are people that aren't reporting them to anyone. I'm getting them, and, you know, and I have just one little tiny ministry dealing with this. So I know cross-board, you know, I've talked to other researchers like you guys, and you've had the same experiences. What I'm experiencing isn't anything unique. Every one of us that is heavily involved in this, have written books or have websites, we're continually getting in contact with people, or people are contacting us, telling us their sightings. And in my situation, too, dealing with and working with abductees, something you don't hear too much about, but when, you know, like us who deal with this 24/7, I'm getting calls all the time, all over the place, from, you know, from everywhere, and all types of people that are having these experiences. So it's more typical than what the press and the public is made aware of.
What do you have to?
All right. Yeah, let me weigh in here as a Stan. Our front page of the website that Holly keeps up for us every day. Has an article she put up yesterday about the retired NORAD officer's new book, and he predicts a tentative worldwide UFO display on October the 13th. And he's saying there are going to be fleets of UFOs hovering for hours over Earth's principal cities. Now, and he's a retired Air Force officer and all that kind of stuff, so it probably has some credibility. And he had input from senior NORAD intelligence officer basically on the history of the UFO phenomenon and what's coming. So I think that what we're seeing is a build-up to the announcement of the alien presence officially, you know, official disclosure, which the new world leader is going to need their support technologically to run the planet. You know, of course, he's going to be the Antichrist, spoken of in the Bible, I'm pretty sure. But as I pointed out in the last edition, the final edition of the Cosmic Conspiracy that I wrote this year, you don't want to be fooled by what's about to happen. This UFO flap stuff is to convince you that they are elder brothers. They created mankind. That they are friends. They mean us no harm. And this is really a lie.
Yep.
Say again.
Oh, I was saying it's an enticement. They're enticing us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and look. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. You know, what you just said, you know, Blossom Goodchild had a similar prophecy, so-called prophecy, that she came out with October 14th in 2009. Of course, it didn't happen. I blogged, you know, to the cows came home on that one. But what cracks me up, what you just said, that could have come right out of my last book, The Revealing, in the Nephilim Trilogy. And it's not really nothing new. We're all, you know, drawing from the same well of information. But I you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I keep talking about the coming Great Deception, and I know you guys... Are trying to warn as many people as we all possibly can, but this thing is coming. I mean, it is coming. It's Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, 1976, the Omega Conspiracy, talked about this very thing. It's Satan's last stand. It's like he's been ramping up for this literally for thousands of years, and it sinks in with Darwinism and New Age philosophy. I mean, it's all dovetailed together. He's a brilliant strategist. It's not just a little weekend excursion or, okay, now we're going to invade Earth. No. This is going to cause such a falling away, and not only in the body of Christ, but in all major religions. Everyone will just sort of drop their paradigm, their belief system, and believe a lie, which is what prophecy tells us is exactly going to happen. Prophecy 2,000 years ago telling us that they will believe the strong delusion because they did not believe the truth.
Well, that's certainly in Scripture. And I wrote the final edition of the book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, in January, February this year, because I had a strong leading from the Lord when I was poking into the book of Daniel again, trying to just retranslate a couple of my favorite difficult passages, which are in Daniel 2, 41 and 44, about the interpretation of the toes of that statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, the toes of clay and iron that wouldn't mix and all that. And I found some discrepancies in there in the English translations. I started translating it. And once I did, I realized, good Lord, this stuff has been kind of hiding there for us for, thousands of years. And it went to Daniel 11, 36, 39. And it does say, without question, just absolutely so many times you can't deny it, that the Antichrist of this age is going to be helped by Satan, but it's going to be by an immortal being who poses or pretends to be a god. And he's going to back the Antichrist. When I read that, the hair in the back of my neck stood straight out. I trained it, took me weeks to do it. I read it to Holly, and she did the same thing. Her hair and her arms just stood out. And, it's spooky, but it's been hidden there for us until the right time. And this is the time.
Well, Stan, when I saw that same passage, when I was looking at it, and it literally, the best English word to define that, in one source that I was looking at, called it alien god. Now, alien meaning in a sense of, not a resident there. And there's probably, I'm sure, we're thinking in the terms of, a foreigner, but still, I just thought it was more than a coincidence that here it comes right out and says alien god. I thought, wow, that's...
Well, yeah, that's the English thing, Jim. That was the English translation, and I saw that too, and I thought, well, I want to know more about this. Did they mean alien, not Israel, or did they mean some foreign country's god, being an alien god? But no, this says immortal beings from the heavens. Yeah. When you translate it bit by bit, I felt like that guy, Dr. Jackson, Stargate, when he first translated heavens, gate, Stargate, and then suddenly there it was, and I felt that same rush, because it is there in black and white for us there in Hebrew and Chaldean, Aramaic. It's all there.
The Bible says that Christ is able to subdue all things unto himself. And you think in the terms of the same but opposite, the Antichrist will imitate everything that God is doing. So in this imitation, he will try to draw all things unto himself. So when this happens, the reason why all of a sudden the Islamics, the Hindus, Jews waiting for their Messiah, Christians waiting for Jesus, this event, mile wide ships all over the place, I believe is going to be under the veneer of completing everybody's expectations, prophecies, including secular people that don't relate to anything religious. They'll see it simply as a superior technology come to bail us out before we wipe ourselves out. Even occultists will see this as a culmination of the yin and the yang coming together, the opposite blending into a final cosmic mush. The Islamics will see 12th Imadi. The Hindus will see Vishu. The Buddhists will see Maitreya. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to be a one size fits all. It wouldn't surprise me if at that time maybe they dug up in between the paws of the Sphinx and found pre-flood texts that gave accurate descriptions and stuff that, it's corrupted. It was planted there on purpose. It's going to be a time like check and checkmate. They're going to draw all their pieces out all throughout history, legends, myths. They're going to have an explanation for everything. They might even show us 3D holographic images. It's going to be so seductive. People are just going to go, wow, who is like under this? Who can make war with a beast, It's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you mentioned something about, 3D holographic images. And I've heard this before from alleged abductees talking about seeing holographic images of the crucifixion.
Yes.
Here in ufology, the same type of thing where, Eisenhower, a bunch of generals were Holloman, and they saw holographic film of the crucifixion, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But the bottom line is, and I've incorporated this into my work also, that if the world starts to see holographic images of the Red Sea being parted, and all of a sudden, that view is from an aerial view, and they realize that it's not Cecil B. DeMille, it's something else, and it looks like the real deal. Yeah, it's like, what's that going to do? And what amazes me, there's a so-called Presbyterian minister, I won't mention his name on the air, But he believes that all the miracles of the Old and New Testament were all created by E.T. That's what he believes. Mm-hmm. The whole disc technology, all this, is by E.T. And it's like, you have holographic film of these events of, let's say, Muhammad receiving the Quran or the so-called angel Gabriel, but instead of going into the cave, we see this angel coming from the craft and then going to the cave. We see, you know, Jesus being resurrected by the dead, but, you know, there are four greys rolling back the stone, you know, and ushering him out of the tomb, so to speak. Or we see the crucifixion. Exactly. Yep. And I mean, people look at that and everybody's been conditioned. We've written all this stuff a priori, so it's there for those who want to take it. But what's alarming is 2 Thessalonians says that there'll be this great apostasy in the Greek apostasy, which will millions, perhaps billions of people will believe the lie. And I just find that incredibly sobering.
Hmm. Well, now listen, along with what you're saying there, Lynn, if they're going to mimic or explain all of the biblical and all of the Hindu and Muslim texts and whatever, they're going to have a fake or bad guy, you know, for the Christians. They're going to have a bad dude be taken down, or bad aliens, whatever. And that's got to happen at the same time or just before the real, you know, nice guys, quote-unquote, Satan, comes with his minions to help Earth and deliver us from this bad dude. And, you know, so everything that we're looking for, rapture, like the removal of a large segment of the population, the Antichrist coming and trying to take over the world but being beaten by the real Messiah, you know, who's Satan posing as him, all this has to come to pass in a manner that will absolutely demoralize most Christians and Jewish people that are Messianic believers. In fact, probably even the Jewish, the Orthodox Jews as well, because of the miracles that they will reproduce in those 3D holographs.
What's incredible is the very scenario that you have described, Stan, is already written in books by other New Agers. They totally understand all this. They've strategized some of this. Peter LeMessurier, in his book, Armageddon Script, comes right out and says, in order to be able to establish a new world order, we will have to fulfill the obligations and expectations of evangelical Christians. And he goes into, you know, devise how they will have to be able to perform a rapture, a tribulation, and a second coming, a judgment. And I'm going, you know, this is not any different in history than before. Before we were ever engaged in World War II, back in 1905, the Japanese defeated the second largest navy in the world, the Russians. And from that, Admiral Tanaka, I think it was an admiral or general, Tanaka, known as the Tanaka Papers, wrote out and drew out a 60-year plan to conquer the Pacific. It had a very step-by-step a procedural method of how they would do that. These things were written back in the teens. By the time the 30s came, when Japanese was expanding in the Pacific, this was all written out, word for word. All a historian would have to do is read that and know what their next step would be. Mein Kampf was the same thing with Europe. And actually, if you read Mein Kampf, see what's going on in America right now. It's just like right out of that book. And so these things don't just spring upon us. They're exposed. They're out there in our face if we only let ourselves, you know, consider the claims of our enemy, the strategies of our enemy. There's many other New Age books that have the same scenario. Most New Age initiates into, you know, the upper levels are expecting their own version of a rapture. And they fully expect to be evacuated before any of this paradigm shift takes place. You know, it's no big secret. I've been wanting to go to Sedona, Arizona, so I could interview a lot of these people, and I had to get a chance to witness them, too, that you don't want to go in this one. It's the same but opposite. So, you know, we think
there's
about...
There's another... Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Stan. No, go ahead.
There's another place other than Sedona that they're expecting us to over here in the San Juan Valley here in Colorado. Down south at Baja, it's a whole community up with the little domes and all that kind of stuff. And I've debated one of the leading proponents of the New Age movement in the Theosophical Society years ago, and he told me, or he told the audience, because we were debating each other, he said, there's going to be a removal of a section of the population, but it's going to be those people whose vibrations aren't at the right level. Yeah. We're going to send them back to other planets, other incarnations to get their souls right. And I looked at him across the stage and I said, you and I know what you're saying is a lie. And I said, look, the line is drawn right between us right here. And that was over 25 years ago that happened. And as you said, Jim, And he said to me, yeah, that's right, Holmes is right. He said to me, he looked me right in the eye, he says, you and I will meet again. And never have, but it's one of Spangler's minions, I think, because he was going back to Fenmore. So, yeah.
Well, Spangler's quote is, it'll put the hair on the back of your neck standing up. He said that it would be necessary, because of the negative vibrations, it would be necessary to have these people removed into spirit and taken to another dimension where they'll be much happier. How do you remove someone in spirit?
Hmm.
That's Lucha. That's a final solution. That's Holocaust, New Age style. Different wording, but the same action. You know, killing and thinking in God a favor. I mean, that's just calling good evil and evil good. It's just right out of the scriptures. And, you know, and it's obscure. It's coming from very far, remote areas. But the stuff is real. And you know what? It was obscure and remote when Nazi Germany took over almost the whole world under the same mess.
Yeah, let me jump in there. Remember, and I talk about this constantly to people. You know, go back 60, 65, 70 years. And, I mean, this madman turned an entire country and created the Holocaust. And most Germans, you know, not all Germans were Nazis, and we need to make that distinction. But for the most part, every Nazi that was there, that was in the party, knew exactly what was going on some level. You know, and it was obviously a Luciferian, satanic, ritualistic sacrifice, and it opened a portal. What's chilling is the New Agers look at us, and this is what just amazes me. And we are primitives. Can you imagine if saucers of discs, mile-wide craft, really do manifest? Like, remember a couple of years back, I think it was like about a decade ago, that huge flotilla over Mexico City of, like, what, 500 ships? You know, and hundreds of people caught them, with thousands of witnesses, scores of video were seen, and they're just, like, they're all moving in formation. It's just mind-blowing, mind-boggling. Well, it's the same thing. It's like, we'll be looked at as Neanderthals. Mm-hmm. The pressure against Christians that will say, well, no, we believe in Yeshua, Jesus. You know, we'll be looked at, you know, how can you hold on to the old way? Stop it. They're here, and they've got the holographic film. Jim, Stan, what's wrong with you people? They're right here. Come on, Barry. I mean, this is it. Now they're here to usher. I mean, this is the kind of pressure. And Christians don't have a clue. This is what we're up against. And it will be like in some ways, like apartheid was, you know, in South Africa. Except I think it's going to get very, very nasty if the church is still here. And see, the problem is the church is so segregated and so, with all due respect, so asleep at the wheel on so many different levels. This stuff is jumping out at us. I'll close with this. I'll hog up too much time here. But I was on the phone with several people in the last, you know, couple 4 days, whatever, talking about the hybridization, the hybrid program, Nephilim mothers, what the breeding program. What's going on with that? And they're all talking about, see, this is what's interesting. They're talking the same thing. You know, you're talking October 13th. Well, that's the first time I've heard that date, although I think someone alerted me to it on the blog, but whatever. In the last 4 days, I've heard that this war is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
This war is coming soon. The hybrids are ready. It's coming from all these different sources. I interviewed an abductee over the weekend saying exactly the same thing. That this thing is coming. So we keep hearing it over and over and over again. At some point, you know, we need to... You see, the problem is, once it kicks off, once it happens, it's too late. It's too late. You know, you're either on one side of the fence or you're on the other. Once it happens, it's over. And that's what concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
We could even be seeing the hostilities come from some of their belief systems in this paradigm shift. They're stating that as the Earth transforms... it gives off vibration and auras, and all life on Earth gives off vibration and auras, and those vibrations have to be in harmony with the Earth Mother. If there's a large enough amount of people that are in disunity, they're giving off conflicting vibrations and like tectonic plates against each other. It's going to cause earthquakes and all these other things. They're saying, and philosophy teaches, that that under that circumstance, transition will be hard. There'll be a lot of catastrophes, earthquakes, volcanoes, all the things that we know are going to happen in the end days. So who gets blamed for this? Those group of darn Christians that will not accept this new world paradigm. Well, yeah, because we are believing in the Bible and we know the warnings of the prophetic warnings of the scriptures, and we're never going to buy into theosophy. So they get blamed for all the catastrophes. Now, it gets even worse. There's William Bramley in his book, Gods of Eden, even Linda Milton Howell's book, A Strange Harvest. They all allude to, and there's other authors too that allude to the same thing. They come right out and say that Paul's Damascus Road experience was an alien abduction. One author even goes so far as to imply that the Holy Spirit that we call that entity within us is actually an alien symbiotic entity that causes us to have a one conscious mind, a collective consciousness. So I'm just assuming, gee, if they're all writing this stuff, I wonder, they're going to say that the Holy Spirit that's in these Christians caused them to rebel against the New World Order is actually an alien entity that is causing them to follow the bad aliens' program. So these people are doing it innocently, being subject to these enemies, believing in reincarnation. Could they be, the next Holocaust, be killing us, thinking they're setting us free to come back again, set free from this thing? I know the Nazis actually believed that sometimes by killing the Jews that they would come back as Aryans, and so they were actually doing them a favor. So that kind of same twisted logic could replay in all of this, so that then we're seeing almost the whole replay of history again under different outer dressing, this time with aliens. Good, bad. They're playing good cop, bad cop. Good aliens, bad aliens. The good aliens are the Nordics, tall, blonde hair, blue-eyed, Caucasian, you're that. Or, and the bad guys are all reptilian, insectoid, netherworld kind of type of aliens. And it's funny that that's the exact two main aliens that we encounter. So we're being set up, and I don't think that it's there.
That does make sense. You know, Jesus, or Yeshua did say that my people die for lack of knowledge, and this is all about here. We have to warn them before the time, because doing it after all this starts to reveal itself, to unveil, they're going to say, oh, that's sour grapes. That doesn't count. We have to get in there before it happens.
I know, Stan, I know Lynn and I have talked about this before, and it's one thing I think we get along so well on, is that all of us right now as watchmen are getting bits and pieces of the puzzle. But I think certain things that are unconditional are never known until we can't mess it up. In other words, it's being so much in progression that it speaks on its own accord, but we're not going to know too much too soon, because human nature is, we're either going to try to help it be fulfilled, or we're going to try to prevent it from being fulfilled. So there's a certain amount of darkness that I think God is allowing, and so on our part as watchmen, we can't be too dogmatic about the things, even though, you know, I know there's certain things that I'm expecting in a particular way, but you know what, I don't want to do the mistake that the Jews made. They made perfect things so dogmatic that they missed the very thing that was right in front of their eyes. Of course, it had to happen anyway, so, but I don't want it to be a part of that. So even though I'm, you know, pretty sure on some things, I still totally remain flexible. These things haven't happened yet. We need to have, the main thing is to maintain a right relationship with our Lord, and just be flexible, just be open. So I consider what everybody says, if it has scripture to back it up, if it has some kind of logic to it, and I just put it like in a file of wait and see, as these are potential resources, so that when the actual event does happen, I got all these other resources to draw upon, and then all the pieces will fit together. But I don't think some of them are going to fit totally until things have progressed to the point where we can't mess it up for God. But there are a lot of good ideas out there, and I think, you know, there's probably, I've seen it in the past, I've seen where things that seem like they're conflicting with one another actually have a total harmony as things progress down the way. You know, we all got little pieces, and they will also kind of blend together if we just keep an open heart and open mind and respect each other for, you know, some of our differences. You know, I think some of the silliest things that can divide us horrendously by that is try to say, is it pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib, or pan-trib, you know? I like the pan idea. It'll pan out in the end. The Antichrist, what's the name? You know, I'm even beginning, I was talking to someone else, and we were kind of bouncing things back and forth, and they were talking about Tom Horn thinking it was Nimrod. But then, you know, I can actually show you in scriptures where Judas was called the man of sin. So it's like everybody has really good pieces, and I got stuff about Adolf Hitler, you know? So it's like doing the tail on the, you know, on the Antichrist or whatever, but I have wondered, could it be possible, I'm just throwing this out because this is a round table, so it's a good time to throw this out, could it be that spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, like a personification of the opposite of Christ, could that spirit have existed in all of these characters so that everybody's right and nobody's wrong? And could it be hopping all throughout the centuries?
I think this is the Antichrist of this age.
Yeah, and I would weigh in on that and say that the enemy, the fallen one, this is actually, talk about this in the book that I'm working on now, Cosmic Chess Match, he's had to have an Antichrist in place ever since the resurrection. And So he's had, that's why John says many antichrists, because there have been, and continue to will be, you know, will be. Are they all indwelled by Satan? I believe at some point Adolf Hitler, most definitely, something was in there. Whether it was the fallen himself, who knows?
It wasn't human.
Hey guys, just a second. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to read you something. This is from Doug Riggs. And this is what's so interesting about some of this. The work of Doug Riggs, and then there's John Darnell over in Australia, and of course Radisdar, all talking about satanic ritual abuse. And they've been into this for, like, some of these guys, 15, 20, 25 years doing this. And this is what's interesting. Neither Doug, John, or Russ ever really looked at the whole Nephilim UFO thing. And the deeper they got down the rabbit hole, so to speak, they realized that, oh, my gosh, it all interconnects. It all dovetails together. It intersects. And they realized that they were looking at just another phase or another view of the phenomenology, which ufologists have looked at. Now the SRA things. Anyway, he's been working with this woman. I want to read you this letter he wrote me. Very, very interesting. Let me just pick it up from here and get your feedback on it, because it ties into what we're talking about, this whole idea of this coming invasion. About 16 months ago, I began working with a 20-year-old woman, now 21, from Canada, who was non-bloodline, definitely, you know, non-European blood royalty bloodline, that's what that means, but turned out to be one of the most highly structured and sophisticated program SRA-DID survivors I have ever worked with. During this process of working through her layered dissociative identity disorder system, we went through various bloodline names that were laminated into a highly complex disassociated identity structure. They shattered these people when they're sometimes, the moment they're born, are taken for 2 weeks, literally, and ritually abused, but we won't get into that. Let me continue. Through this laborious process, I was not able to identify or reach her original core identity, which is very perplexing and frustrating, to say the least. The breakthrough came when I began to get in touch with her core, which was identified as Genesis. As we continue to work with this core identity, which was assigned to her by her programmers as her project name for birth, the whole identity continued to enlarge with increased knowledge and understanding of her whole life experience, which led to major integration and resolution of her deepest core conflicts. Here's the punchline. The project identity at her core levels, as this has continued to unfold in our work together, is, this is her name, Genesis 6, Grand Dame Stargate, the revelation, the end of all the projects, the consummation of bloodlines, the DNA of the Morning Star, template of the Black Trinity, Grand Dame of the Black Trinity. Her original birth identity breathed her by God as Neshama, like the breath of life, which we all have, was mostly sequestered in death until we reached the level of her DID system, which defines her as their project. This young woman at birth was immediately taken from her mother and told by the attending physicians that there was something wrong with her and she needed to stay in the hospital for observation, which lasted for 2 weeks, and there was nothing medically wrong with her. And then it goes on from there. But this is, I mean, look, I realize that that is really bizarre stuff. I understand that. But this is what we're talking about. I mean, this points directly to, as in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. And I just find that incredibly chilling.
You know, there are a lot of technological things that prevent traditional science, physicists, engineers, in believing that UFOs exist or can function like they do. And I debated one professor at the University of West Australia, the head of the physics department at the time, in his office about how an object could hover over an airfield for 10 minutes in one spot. And he said, well, that's just physically impossible for, say, a 30-foot diameter craft to do that, because it couldn't carry enough chemical fuel on board to thrust and stay in one spot for 10 minutes. It just couldn't do it. And I said, well, okay, so we tell that to the guy in the hot air balloon sitting over the field. And he got mad. He threw his chalk at me. He said, no, that's specific gravity. That's not real gravity. And I said, well, okay. And that was kind of the end of the discussion. I left because he was red in the face and we had to throw something else. So, but the point is this. He, like so many engineers and physicists today, are blinded to the physics that can work for them. If they will concede at some point that a 30-foot, 40-foot diameter craft could produce an artificial gravitational field at its core so that it can manipulate within gravitational fields, if they will concede just that much, then we have a solution to the bigger problem when they say no craft be a mile in diameter.
Right.
Oh, laugh, because the spars, the metal supports and stuff would bend and break under their weight. You know, this is just impossible. Then I would say to them, okay, look, let's take three flying saucers with anti-gravity fields. Each one of them has its own gravitational core. And let's take three of them and link them together now. Now then, the spars linking them all have three gravitational fields holding them together, spaced by the diameters, you know, of the radii of these three craft. Now, we can skin that with a bigger metallic skin or, you know, a field, and it would appear to be bigger than the individual crafts. It would be three of them hiding inside of a bigger skin. Okay, yeah, right. Okay, now let's take 100 of them and link them together.
Yep.
Now then, you get the picture. We have local gravity for every piece of metal and plastic and whatever you wanted to form in that by inertia. And they're only subject to the closest gravitational field, which is less than, you know, 15 to 20 feet away in any direction. So this is how it could work.
And how many times, Dan, in UFO observations has so many people recorded seeing multiple UFOs that come together and form one? Or from one, they break off into multiples.
Right.
I mean, it's the standard thing that many people have seen. It's not like, you know, the idea you're saying, it's not like you're pulling this out of thin air. It's been observable as witness testimony.
Hmm. Right. I did a lecture in 2005 over at the Roswell Convention, the Ancient of Days Conference, and I showed there an animation I'd made with little spinning flying saucer, characters or cartoon things of spinning flying saucers, showing the direction they were rotating. Some graphics, right? And I was showing how one spins, say, clockwise, and how they can get two or three of them together to bond together to form an invisible field between them, spinning, conserving momentum between them, how they lock together, and they can fly as one without, you know, being pulled apart or looking like they're shaky. And that same thing happens when you start to hook them up in threes. You know, the diamond shape or the triangle shape allows them to just lock together. And that one down in Texas here,
Stevensville, yeah.
Stevensville. You remember that guy that looked up from the trees out there?
And yeah, Ricky Sorrell.
Yeah.
Okay, and you saw the illustration when it's all going overhead. And those had pits in them, you know, like pits in distinct rectangular areas, which were probably the anti-gravitational fields for that craft. I mean, all
there you
of
go.
It.
Hmm.
It's, I wish we could explain this to people before, you know, they're full, but anyway.
Well, it's funny. It's the Stevensville lights. There's a whole lot more going on there than what the public knows actually going on. I know that's where I first got up and met Lynn. Lynn, you had gone down there, and what was the reaction to the churches? I mean, that, you know, you went down there to try to offer an explanation to everything, and tell everybody how were you received?
Yeah, I didn't actually go down, but I called, and I called, I don't know, three or four main, you know, large churches down there. And I said, look, I'll come down for free. I'll tell you people what's going on. I'm the author of Nephilim Trilogy. At that point in time, I had written Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. I'll come down and talk about this, PowerPoint presentation, blah, blah, blah. No, we're not really interested in this. And closed door, closed door, closed door. So here's the deal. It's like this stuff's manifesting in their backyard. In their backyard. And the church will refuse to deal with it. And I find that unconscionable. I mean, I really do. I mean, I'm angered. I'm saddened, but I'm also angered by it because there's like this Dr. Deagle's coined a phrase called vicious ignorance, and I've adapted it and give him credit for it. But it's a vicious ignorance which these gatekeepers are holding. There's a along the same lines as a person, and I won't say male or female. I don't want to give it away. A person who has a very large mystery. This person, you know, tens of thousands of people view this person on a weekly basis. And I'm not allowed on that person's show for the obvious reasons. And this person sent out an email at one point saying, we just found the perfect balance that talks about UFOs without all the, you know, the hype and the fanaticism. And it's called Unidentified. And I've watched the movie. It's a good movie. It's a primer. It at least talks about some of the phenomena, and with all due credit, at least that particular gatekeeper is allowing unidentified to be shown. But you see this vicious ignorance all throughout the body of Christ, where no one has done a modicum, not even a modicum of research on the subject at all. And yet, They'll keep those doors closed, won't allow you to speak, you know, won't arm their people, or worse still, they were brought up theologically with the whole Sephite explanation of the fallen angels, and so this possibly can't happen, and we won't talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Book of Jude or Second Peter, which quotes directly from the pseudepigraphal book of Enoch. We won't talk about that. So it's unbelievable. That's how I would read it in Texas, and it's sort of par for the course. But what's interesting, and I'll close with this, what's interesting is, like, it seems that there are little kernels of like glimmers of hope throughout the United States where people are beginning to wake up, mm-hmm. and they want to know. They know something's up. They know it's not business as usual. What's going on? And those are the people that I get invited to speak at.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, and you would think now, in 2003, the Lord led me to sell everything I had in Detroit and move down to Roswell, New Mexico. In a very short time, I had my own little bookstore museum right across the street from the International UFO Museum in Roswell. Now, here's a place that gets inundated with everything and anything alien and UFO from all over the world. They are like the Mecca for the whole world's, where it all started kind of a situation. And most Americans that come through there, it's just, they're not really taking it too serious. It's like the largest ball of string. You see a sign on the highway, hey, go, let's just check this out. So they're kind of coming with a goofy attitude. But most of the people come from all over the world, and they do come from all over the world. They bought high expensive tour packages that take them up to Nevada to Area 51, and Roswell being one of the stops too. These people are initiates. They're coming to Mecca to see, their false religion, phony god, the aliens. And they get indoctrinated through the UFO museum of that. Now, when I first got there, I was expecting that, probably a lot of the churches would be excited and be very supportive, because here they are flooded with this stuff 24/7, and finally somebody's coming that can explain all this stuff and is willing to create a place where they can deprogram everybody that's getting programmed into the museum. I got just as much resistance there as I did in Detroit or anywhere else, maybe even more, because too many of the people their finances were wrapped up into the whole tourist industry. I was in one church where one of the largest churches in Roswell and one of the more affluent churches, one of the elders owned two different stores, and he was selling books that were completely undermining the entire Word of God, and made aliens our creators, and they're coming back to enlighten us into a new age of enlightenment. He was selling those books in his store. I mean, it's ridiculous how complacent these people were, and they really didn't want to hear or support anything. I just quickly gave up on dealing with any of them and just kept pulling people out of the fires, literally, from the museum. Some of them would stray over to my place, and of course, I had storyboards all over the place, and it presented enough information, and I had just about every author that had any book. Your books were included in my store, both you guys. As a matter of fact, Stan, it's the only reason I didn't get to see you when you spoke that today. I had a replacement, and they backed out at the last minute, especially during that time of the year, I had to be there in my store. It was just, flooded with people, and the harvest was ripe, and I just knew I had to be there instead. I did get to meet you, though. I know you probably don't remember me, but for me, it was exciting to get to know Lynn, to get to know you, and to get to know you, Stan, because both of you, when the Lord had first called me into this in 1996, I was already vaguely familiar. I gave my first sermon in 1978 about Genesis 6, but I didn't know too much at that time. In 1996, the Lord gave me a very vivid dream and vision and called me into this. Shortly after, when I was starting to really question my sanity as God was showing me all these different things, I came across two people's books that were a major encouragement, and I realized, well, they're not crazy, and if they saw the same scriptures and understand the same thing, then maybe I've got hope. Lynette was your trilogy, the Nephilim series, and Stan, it was your book. Believe me, you guys have a special place in my heart. You both, never knowing it, were a major encouragement to me to keep pressing forward and to keep on going. So I was pretty excited to get a chance to know both of you, and it's just been...
Jim, it's funny you should say that. Lynn, do you remember calling me when you were working on your first book and we were talking about all this stuff?
I know, I don't remember that. That's like, that's 12, 13 years ago. Unbelievable.
I know, and it just seems, wow, the years have just whizzed past. But that's why, Jim, I think our work is similar, because we just think alike and have been digging up similar stuff that dovetails to each other. It's just... Oh, I can't believe that we're at this point now in the prophetic unveiling. It just, it's exciting, but it's also breathtaking.
Hmm.
Can you remember 15 years, 14 years ago, there was an audience of, 10, 12 people I mean, it was maybe five or six websites addressing a biblical perspective on UFOs and aliens. Look what is out there now. There's thousands of websites. There's hundreds of people interested, and more added daily that are, you know, they're coming out. And this is what the Lord kind of laid on me when I was in Roswell and kind of upset that the church didn't seem interested. And the Lord laid it on me. He says, Jim, I haven't called you to wake up the church. I can't let them know. Mm-hmm. If everybody knew what you knew, you could put a stop to what has to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not letting a lot of people know. This, a certain amount of this evil has to be carried out, and it can't be if everybody knows. I have made pillars scattered like salt and light all over my church. I'm going to draw those people to you. You help them prepare for their ministry. And so that's what I see all of us doing, Lynn, Stan, me, and our colleagues. We are preparing an end-time army of people to be equipped with the Word of God, with a foundation to where all this stuff goes back, chapter, text, and verse. Because, you know, when those mile-wide ships finally do approach, and they're everywhere, and this is in everyone's face, there's no more gray-shaded area. All of a sudden, everybody is going to need an answer. Now, you and I, we can't be everywhere at once. So all the people that God has sent us, and we've helped to explain and encourage in our blogs and our websites, our videos, we're preparing an army of people that have open hearts and open eyes, the ones that God has called to be these pillars. We're preparing them so that when this world is overwhelmed, they're going to be our eyes and feet and mouths that what God has given us, we have given them. Now they're going to give it to the world. It's kind of like we're little Yodas in the background, you know, getting all the Jedi warriors ready. And I like that role. I'm very comfortable with that. It's pretty cool.
You know, gosh, there's just so many things to talk about. The deception has to be exposed, and I know that we're like grains of salt spread all over the earth. We don't live next door to each other, and thank the good Lord we have electronic internet to do these kind of shows and make them available to people.
Absolutely.
It's all coming together, and on my bipartisan website there, there's a dream vision, like a button or tag you push there, and you get to the dream visions that I've had that we put on the internet anyway. And one of them says Stan's dream vision of 1996. And in there, just cutting to the meat of it, I end up standing in the southwest here in a kind of desert-like area addressing or looking at several hundred pup tents, one-man pup tents, that were the watchmen all in their pup tents asleep on their cots, and they'd slept through their alarm to wake up to go tell their people things are about to happen. And they were covered in web, like cobwebs, and I was going around each tent and onto the person under the webbing over their bed and parting the web and shake them and say, get up. And I think it was meaning, my son Nate said, probably means you're going to use the internet web to reach them to wake them up. And that's what's happening now. And this is like, 14, 15 years ago, I had the dream vision. And the other thing that was really amazing about this dream vision, and I could not understand it, was this. After I woke up, several hundred of them, and they were standing there in front of me, it's still kind of pre-dawn. It was kind of that strange darkness that you get. It's not totally dark, but anyway, behind me to the west toward California, there was this like flickering firelight. I could see it on their faces, so I turned around, and it was like small meteorites, but they weren't zipping like fast like meteorites. They were like falling, burning embers with a fire trail behind them, a few feet behind them. And first there was 200, 300, 400, then just like a waterfall of these fiery little objects coming down to Earth. So I thought, and you'll see that on the website, well, maybe that means some kind of a meteor shower is going to signify something's going to start, because in the dream vision, I then turn around to him and I say, go tell your people it begins now. And that was the end of the dream vision. I woke up.
Wow.
But I'm thinking now, what I was seeing was the day of Pentecost, like the Holy Spirit of fire descending on many of the watchmen and Christian believers to give them the gift of the Spirit so they could go and witness that one last outreach. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of the way I see it now, 15 years later.
What you know, Stan, the Lord has communicated to me most of what I have in my book through dreams. And it seems to be part of my ministry is being able to understand when somebody shares a dream. Now, and L.A., I think you're right down this road, too. God has shown you a lot through dreams. And usually I find that when God communicates us, we also have an ability sometimes to have insight into other people's dreams. And the first I heard you tell of this dream, I had one thought that came to me. And this is why I feel so connected to both of you guys, because one thing that all three of us have in common, and my colleague Dave Ruffino also, and there's others, lots of others, but with so many people that are into understanding these things, many of them get caught up more in the intrigue of the mystery and some of the more particular mechanics of the paranormal and supernatural, and too many of them leave the people right there. Where what I see in you guys and what I see in a core of people, and I think that's what your dream is partly about, the people they're out there, they're proclaiming or warning about the Nephilim or about, you know, some of the prophetic events, but where they forget is to bring it back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back to the simple gospel. If this stuff isn't impacting and changing lives and bringing people closer to Jesus, we're doing it all in vain. And I think too many people get caught up on the one half of the message, and they're forgetting to wrap it up and point everything back to Jesus and end on a positive note that, hey, you know, this is some pretty scary, weird stuff, but you know what? God's in control. He's got a plan, and he wins. And if you're on his side, you win. And I think too many times, you know, too many people are forgetting to do that. But Lynn, Stan, you guys don't forget that. That's what we got to remind the others to do. Stay on target, man. Bring them to Jesus, because that's what this is all about, and that's what it's all for. They that know their God will be wise to exploits. And then as this continues in that text in Daniel, it says, and they will shine as the stars of seas, as the stars in heaven, because they have won all these souls to the Lord. And that's the bottom line purpose in all this, not to just warn the people that it's coming, but get right with God, get close to God, know God if you don't know him. And that's where the tents, you're getting those cobwebs out of there, you know, because they've been stuck on the one area and forgetting the other, right?
Well, also the falling flaming objects are like the scent of the tongues of fire, you know, of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that I saw it dancing on their faces before I turned around indicates to me now, when I think about it, that they were being lit up by the Holy Spirit to go and do exactly what you're saying, to witness about the gospel. You know, the one last outreach.
Yep, it's going to have to be using the gifts as an everyday thing that, you know, we got to quit compartmentalizing Jesus. You know, he's with us 24/7, not just, you know, when we want him to be. When we start developing more of a relationship where he's there all the time, the gifts start kicking in all the time. It's not going to be optional in a day's coming. This is going to be our survival. So we got to teach people now that, you know, that, hey, you know what? This stuff is still here for today. It works. It's real. It's there. You can use it. And if a guy like me can use it, we can.
Yeah, just the idea. I talk about this too when I'm at conferences and stuff. It's like, let me get this right. There are certain bodies or certain denominations that believe that the gifts all died for century. Okay, fine, I got that. You're entitled to believe what you want to believe. So let's walk through it. In other words, I have no armor, no defense, no gifts of the Spirit against the fallen one and his minions. I'm just here with absolutely nothing, zero. I mean, what's, you know, who's the general here? I mean, what nutcase decided this? I mean, it's just absurd. And of course, what it does is it keeps people in the dark about our weapons are not carnal, but are things of the Spirit. It keeps people from putting on the armor of God, which is all supernatural stuff, which we have to do daily. Daily, absolutely daily. And it keeps people from realizing, look, last time I was at the Nashville conference, there was like, and I hate using this term because it sounds so culty, but there was like an open heaven. And it's not at every conference, but at this conference there was. The Lord was doing stuff in people's lives. People got healed, born again, baptized, delivered. All that stuff was going on there at the Nashville conference. It was really cool. And there was a guy that came up to me, and he wanted to talk. And, you know, that day was full. But the following day, I said, yeah, come at lunchtime. We'll spend half an hour, 45 minutes together. So I took a prayer partner with me, because we're always told to go out in twos. It's for a reason. You know, one slips, the other's there to pick him up. It's a great way to do it. And we listened to this guy who went on for about 10, 15 minutes, okay? And involved in UFOs, UFO cults, went to the Serpent Mount at 2:30 in the morning, took this artifact from an Indian burial ground there. I mean, all this stuff just going on and on and on. And I'm just praying, Lord, I have no idea what to give this guy. He could talk the rest of his life, and I still wouldn't have any idea. You know, what am I looking at here? And the Lord gives me a word of knowledge, because I needed it that moment. And I asked for it, and he gave it to me, because there was an open heaven, because he's not stingy. And I just told the guy, I said, you need to verbally renounce all of this. That's what I'm getting. And the moment he did, the moment he started to go and ask for forgiveness, it was like a dam broke. This guy just bawled. There's a grown man in his 50s just bawling like a baby. Then the Lord gives me a vision of this black thread being pulled from his solar plexus. And I said, the Lord's taking all this darkness that you put into your life out of your life. And he's going, yeah, I feel it, and it hurts. And he called the solar plexus like this. I'm sitting there going, okay, this is, but, you know, that's what we should be moving in all the time. I mean, that should be the par for the course, not the, you know, the story that we tell, you know, happens once every 20 years. Baloney. Every time, you know, and I know, Jim, you get people across your desk, and I know you do stand. I mean, we have nothing to give anybody except the gospel. Peter said it, you know, when the beggar, you know, give me gold. Gold or silver I have not, but, you know, name of Yeshua HaMashiach, rise up and walk. And the guy was healed. That's what we need to move in as body of believers, especially. And you know what? I'm talking about dreams. I'll tell you guys this. I had a really, really rough night last night. I mean, the attack was really severe. And I mean, I was seeing stuff in my dreams where, like, it would start to come in, and I'm like half asleep, half awake, and I'm like rebuking this, you know, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, you know, I will not die but live. You know, I rebuke you, all this kind of stuff, you know, the Lord rebuke you. Just this whole warfare thing going on, and these like quasi visions and like demonic faces. And I mean, I know what's, I'm getting ready to speak next week in Denver again, so it's no surprise. But, you know, this went on for about, probably like an hour and a half, you know, nonstop. And I would, every time I would get settled, bam, something else would come in, you know. And I just sat there and just warred against this thing. And it's like, you know, I'm laying down on my bed, half asleep, half awake, praying in the spirit, in my prayer language, warring, you know, just rebuking and warring against this thing. And not afraid, not like going, oh, no, get out of here, you foul and unclean thing. The Lord rebuke you in Yeshua's name. That type of authority, that type of, because, and this is where we're going. You know, when this stuff starts happening, rebuke first, ask questions later. You know, instantly go into the rebuke mode. Get out of here with that. You know, one more story. I had a friend of mine, and this woman, I don't want to get too much of the back history because someone will trace around how things work on the internet. But these people came up. Yeah, these people came up and to the house here. And, you know, yeah, and this woman starts. I'm on a chair. Her husband's like 4 feet away in another chair. And she's at the footstool between us. And she starts touching my leg. And I've known these people for like years. And I'm kind of going like, what am I looking at here? This is like something's going on. I didn't. And they left. You know, and then I got in the car. And that's when it hit me. That's what the Lord told me. And I felt like I'd been slimed. I mean, totally slimed. And man, I just got into the whole warfare thing and, you know, cast it down. You have no right of entry here. You know, I rebuke you, foul and unclean thing. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. The blood of a lamb is on you. And, you know, it's like it's in all quarters. And I mean, this woman has a real past. It's a whole, and she's not a believer. And what was done was very, very deliberate. I realized that. It was extremely. It's like the enemy sent her in. It was deliberate. I don't even think she knew what she was doing. I honestly, and I don't say that lightly. She was doing stuff that was atypical from her, and she was being used. So, you know, this battle is real. And if we don't face it head on and understand what we're fighting with, and of course the enemy wants us to think that, oh, it doesn't exist, Satan doesn't exist, don't worry about anything. You're going to heaven. The rapture's going to happen in 10 minutes. Don't worry. I mean, that's, you know, we're taken out of the fight. Yep. And I'll shut up.
Well, you know, it's sad. The church should be the ones that are standing in the vanguard and in a gap to explain the supernatural and to rightly divide it from the paranormal. And by that, I mean, I always look at it as paranormal is just a counterfeit of the supernatural things of God. And instead, at these times when people should be instructed and knowing more on how to walk in the power and might of God's Spirit, instead the church is shrugging away and shying away from everything and anything supernatural. Or they're getting carried away in all the weirdness where they punch somebody in the stomach who has stomach cancer and claiming that as some kind of a healing process. I mean, you know, it's either a mockery or it's a total denial. So there's just total confusion on the supernatural gifts. I mean, to me, the whole book of Jude is warning us about what? Those that come in and are spots in the feasts of charity. They're the ones that cause the divisions. They're the ones that are swaying mankind towards this global utopian scene. And yet, all throughout the book of Jude, he gives three descriptions that we're not dealing with human beings. We're dealing with the Nephilim. We're dealing with supernatural beings that in our own power and might, we cannot contend with them. We can be a Christian, but you know what? If we're not going to use the weapons of spiritual warfare against them, we're going to get beat up.
Yeah, completely.
We're not going to destroy, but we'll get beat up. We'll get hurt.
Our weapons are not carnal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lynn, you said you're going to be up in Denver soon. What are you speaking at?
I'm speaking at in Lubbock, Colorado at the Rialto. One night, September 25th. Just me, 4 hours. 4 or 5 hours. So it should be interesting. And I've revamped my...
You got a good crowd there?
I don't know. I have no idea how many people are going to show up. You know how that stuff goes. I mean, it could be one. It could be 200. You just don't know what we're going to get.
Look, can you email me? My email is pretty public, so I won't ask you what yours is over the show here, but standale@standale.com.
Yeah. Okay.
Just email me your details. That, I don't know if we can, but maybe Holly and I can go to Loveland and see you there.
Stan, this is Barry. I would love to meet you personally. I'm here in Cheyenne, so...
Likewise.
Well, maybe we could all make it there. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, guys?
No, it would. It would.
Yeah.
We don't get together very often.
I'm in Michigan. I'm afraid that's not next door for me.
True. Well, maybe someday. One way or another.
Well, what do you guys... Oh, no. I guess I want to kind of just say, what are you guys seeing that's going to happen? Do you think that we could see this stuff happening in the next few months, or could it be a year out?